How many short stories have you read over the past year? Probably nowhere near the 120 stories that Tom Perotta read as editor for the Best American Short Stories 2012. Perotta has also written a lot of his own short stories, and he's the author of the novels Election and Little Children, both of which were made into films nominated for Academy Awards. So I figured Tom Perotta would be the perfect choice to answer the question, what makes a great short story?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I think, and I really learned this when I edited Best American Short Stories, which required me to read, you know, quite widely in what had been published, was that you can have certain preconceptions about that, but it really is that old, I know it when I see it. You suddenly feel that excitement and that alertness and that need to know what happens next, or just that excitement to be hearing a voice that you've never heard before, or learning about a place or a person that you didn't think you'd ever meet. I mean, I think the one thing for me that's always been true is that there's a germ of an anecdote in a lot of the stories I like. I always love listening to people tell me interesting stories about what happened. And I think some of the stories I like best begin with what seems like a kind of a curious anecdote, and then uses that anecdote to reveal not only character in the moment, but the story of an entire life.
Short stories are such an extraordinary challenge. I know you've been writing for a long time, reading for a long time. Short stories demand that you do so much with so little, and you have to do it well because failure is waiting for you right around the corner, isn't it? If you don't tell the story now and in plain language, disaster is somewhere nearby.
It's true that it's a very unforgiving form. It does seem to me that stories that work have to be pretty close to perfect. I think the novel is a much more forgiving form. We just take it for granted that every novel we read will be flawed in a certain way, and that what we want really is just for the virtues of the novel to allow us to forgive those flaws. But if a story's flawed and you leave it for even a moment, I think it can be hard to get back into it. And I think it can be a very kind of delicate machine, a narrative machine that a writer's trying to create.
You, of course, were faced with quite a challenge putting together the Best American Short Stories for 2012. You had to read a lot, although I gather that there were a lot of stories that were taken out of contention before you started reading. Is that right?
That's right. So the way that the series is done, and it makes the guest editor's life a lot easier, is Heidi Pittler, who's the series editor, reads essentially everything. I believe reads stories in the thousands, and she narrows it down to a long list of 120, and the guest editor reads those 120 and picks 20. So it's a big job, but it's not a year-round, exhaustive job. So it's possible that there were stories that I didn't see that might end up on some alternate list. But even out of those 120, it was very hard for me to narrow it down to just 20. Heidi has very good taste, and there were a number of really great stories that I just couldn't fit into my list.
When you were reading them, did you find that there was a particular style that appealed to you, or were you trying to look for a variety of styles to represent the best American short stories?
You know, it's funny because I told Heidi I was interested in seeing some comic stories because I felt like they were sometimes underrepresented, and I always enjoy a funny story. And she did try to do that. And what I discovered was that some stories that are self-consciously comic weren't working for me. And I ended up, I think, choosing stories that really moved me. And I discovered that that's really what I want from a story, is a kind of emotional experience, and those were the ones that really stuck with me. And so I think sometimes we have ideas about ourselves as readers, but when we put them to the test, we discover that our values are different there. The one thing that I did notice and was very intrigued by was the fact that stories seemed to be getting longer and more novelistic. I saw a lot of stories with multiple points of view, and stories like D.M. Perdidi that don't really focus on a moment but focus on the span of an entire life. And I thought that was an interesting glimpse of what's happening in the short story landscape right now. I think Alice Munro is the writer most responsible for opening up the story and bringing a variety of novelistic techniques into it.
That is a kind of a modern development, isn't it? I read that when you were trying to prepare yourself to do this, you went back and looked at the Best American Short Stories of 1986, which was edited by Raymond Carver. And I don't imagine in those days multiple points of view would have been common.
I think that probably at any given time you could find that there were writers working with multiple points of view. But I think it is just telling that I have a number of them in my collection, and Carver had none whatsoever. And I remember being in, you know, fiction workshops back in the 80s, and there really was a sense that, you know, a story had a main character and a single main event. That word single, I think, looms over the story. The earliest theorist of the short story was Poe, and his principle is that a story has a single effect. And, you know, you can see how he does that. His effects are always horror, and everything is contributing to that. And I think that really held up as a kind of objective for story writers for a long time. And I think only now people are starting to write stories that are really about more the sweep of a whole life or the interplay of a variety of characters rather than a single moment in the life of a single character.
I know that you chose 20 stories you are proud of. I have to ask, is there one you like the best?
I wouldn't want to single out one, but I think there are a couple of stories that really do qualify as masterpieces in here. Alice Munro's Axis is a story that I think anyone who wants to write fiction really needs to study, and just to see how a writer can compress the story of three intimately connected lives over the space of 50 years with just, you know, two or three anecdotes. It's really quite a remarkable story. I think George Saunders' 10th of December is just an extraordinarily moving and funny story, and really a kind of a one-of-a-kind piece.
I'd like you to read just a little bit of one of the stories in the 2012 collection of the Best American Short Stories. What have you chosen for us?
I'm going to read a little bit from the beginning of Julie Otsuka's story, Diem Perdidi, which was originally published in Granta magazine. Diem Perdidi by Julie Otsuka. She remembers her name. She remembers the name of the president. She remembers the name of the president's dog. She remembers what city she lives in, and on which street, and in which house. The one with the big olive tree where the road takes a turn. She remembers what year it is. She remembers the season. She remembers the day on which you were born. She remembers the daughter who was born before you. She had your father's nose. That was the first thing I noticed about her. But she does not remember that daughter's name. She remembers the name of the man she did not marry, Frank, and she keeps his letters in a drawer by the bed. She remembers that you once had a husband, but she refuses to remember your ex-husband's name. That man, she calls him. She does not remember how she got the bruises on her arm or going for a walk with you earlier this morning. She does not remember bending over during that walk and plucking a flower from a neighbor's front yard and slipping it into her hair. Maybe your father will kiss me now. She does not remember what she ate for dinner last night or when she took her medicine. She does not remember to drink enough water. She does not remember to comb her hair. She remembers the rows of dried persimmon that once hung from the eaves of her mother's house in Berkeley. They were the most beautiful shade of orange. She remembers that your father loves peaches. She remembers that every Sunday morning at 10, he takes her for a drive down to the sea in the brown car. She remembers that every evening, right before the 8 o'clock news, he sets out 2 fortune cookies on a paper plate and announces to her that they are having a party. She remembers that on Mondays, he comes home from the college at 4, and if he is even 5 minutes late, she goes out to the gate and begins to wait for him. She remembers which bedroom is hers and which is his. She remembers that the bedroom that is now hers was once yours. She remembers that it wasn't always like this.
What I like about that story, I think, one of the many things that I like about that story, is that it seems to be only one thing and develops into another and another and another while maintaining the first story all the way through. It's a masterwork.
It really is. It's a tour de force. She hardly ever breaks from that, what seems like a really restrictive pattern of just she remembers, she doesn't remember. And yet, in the course of all those memories and forgettings, the reader slowly puts together a story of an entire life.
Yeah. Why do we read fiction?
In the introduction to the book, I was sort of talking about just that sort of cognitive excitement of reading good fiction. I really do feel like it's this sort of complex mental act that really kind of brings your whole person into this state of heightened alertness. I just feel like for those of us who love to do it, it's almost an addiction. I have to read some period every day. It's almost a form of meditation for me. I mean, it's the opposite of meditation where you empty your head. It's sort of like you enter some story and you're just fully engaged in a way that almost nothing else fully engages me. Certainly watching a movie is mesmerizing, but I don't always feel as fully engaged in a dialogue with a movie as I do with a book. So part of the reason we read is, I think, just for that intellectual and emotional excitement that comes from good fiction. And then I think there is a way in which, you know, when you're young, you read to learn about life. And even now, you know, I'm reading fiction to enter into the minds of characters that I might never meet or get a glimpse inside of cultures that I can only know from the outside. For those of us who love fiction, I think it really becomes our best way of understanding the world.
I'd really like to have you read an excerpt from one of your own short stories. What have you chosen for us?
I'm going to read from the opening of my short story, 9 Inches. It's the title story of a collection that's coming out in September. 9 Inches. Ethan didn't want to go to the middle school dance, but the vice principal twisted his arm. He said it was like jury duty. The system only made sense if everybody stepped up and nobody got special treatment. Besides, he added, you might as well do it now. Get it over with before the new baby comes and things get even crazier. Ethan saw the logic in this, but it didn't make him feel any less guilty about leaving the house on Friday evening with the dishes unwashed and Fiona just getting started on her nightly meltdown. Apparently, her busy toddler day wasn't complete unless she spent an hour or two shrieking her head off before bedtime. Dana smiled coldly at him from the couch, as if he'd volunteered to be a chaperone out of spite, just to make her life that much more difficult. Don't worry about us, she called out as he buttoned his coat. We'll be fine. She had to speak in a louder than normal voice to make herself heard over Fiona, who was standing in the middle of the living room in yellow Dr. Denton's, her fists balled and her face smeared with a familiar glaze of snot, tears, and unquenchable fury. No, Daddy, she bellowed. You stay home. I'm sorry, Ethan said, not quite sure if he was apologizing to his wife or his child. I tried to get out of it. Dana scoffed, as if this were a likely story. She was usually a more understanding person, but this pregnancy wasn't bringing out the best in her. Only 5 months along, she'd already begun groaning like a martyr every time she hoisted herself out of a chair or bent down to tie her shoe. She was also sweating a lot, and her face had taken on a permanent pink flush, as if she were embarrassed by her entire life. Ethan couldn't say he was looking forward to the next several months, or the next several years, for that matter. Love you guys, he said, inching toward the door.
Tom Parada, reading from his short story, 9 Inches. Parada is the editor of the Best American Short Stories 2012. What do you think makes a great short story? You can let us know by sending an email through our website, ttbook.org. You can also reach us via Facebook or Twitter.